for your sake alone. I left my dear old father, my country, and my home. I left my dear old mother to weep and to mourn. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home. It's grape shot and musket and the cannon lumber loud. There's many a mangled body, the blanket for their shroud. There's many a mangled body left on the fields alone. I am a rebel soldier and far from my home.
Okay, thanks for joining me here in the broadcast, folks. Welcome back. If you were here for my earlier broadcast here, about 20 minutes ago, this is Critical Disclosure Radio, different from the previous broadcast on Montana Daily Gazette. On this show, we cover family court, child protective services, judiciary, that type of thing. And we'll be joined by Bart Crabtree and Janae Weber here coming up at the bottom of the hour. They'll be joining us, and we're delighted to have them both here. Returning guests, both on the show. I think it was last year at some point where we had them on before, but we're glad to have them back on again from the Montana Council for Judicial Accountability. Actually, that's not exactly the name of it, and so I can get the proper name here. Let me log into this program here. And again, thanks so much for joining me here on this 24th day of February 2021. And we're going to cover here on this broadcast, we're going to cover some of the bills in the that are going through the Montana legislature right now. And again, we're going to have Bart Crabtree and Janae Weber of the Montana State Council and Forum on Judicial Accountability, or MSCJA. They're going to be here, and we're delighted to have them here at the bottom of the hour. So in the meantime, what we're going to do is we're going to talk about some of these bills that have been brought up here on the Montana House and Senate, the Montana Legislature. And we're going to discuss some of those bills here because they are CPS related. Now we're going to have Dennis Lenz, Representative Dennis Lenz is going to be on the Montana Gazette radio broadcast in the morning at 9 a.m. On all these same stations. He'll be here tomorrow, and he is he has sponsored quite a few of these bills here, a few of them, I believe, with the CPS bill. So we're going to have him on tomorrow to talk about those in greater detail. We will have the phone lines, I think, open. Maybe if the guests want to have the phone lines open, we'll have those open later on. We should have that capability here. I think everything's working fine with all that. Let me check here. Everything seems to be up and connected and going well. So recording's good. Everything's good. It's all good, as they say. Okay, so let's cover this first bill here introduced by Representative Dennis Lenz. Okay, so I must have hit the wrong button. There we go. All right, this is the 2021 Montana Legislature, of course, this year, House Bill 459, introduced by Dennis Lenz, a bill for an act entitled An Act Generally Revising Laws Related to Providing for Certification of Child Protective Specialists, Investigating Matters of Suspected Child Abuse, Neglect or Endangerment, Providing Implementation Instruction, Providing Rulemaking Authority, Providing Definitions, and Amending these different sections of the Montana Code Annotated. Now, I just speak with Dennis previously about an hour or so ago to set up the time for him to come on tomorrow. And what he told me is what they're going to be pushing for here in the Montana legislature is for anybody that comes into the home and removes a child, they have to be licensed and trained. And I forget exactly what they're going to be trained in, child protection specialists, I believe, or not really sure the title they're going to give them. But what they're going to have is they're going to have a licensure that they are going to be able to lose if they act inappropriately. This is a good thing. We want accountability. That's what we want. We want accountability for the massive amounts of money and manpower and fostering of children away from their families that goes on in all states, not just Montana. If you've followed this show at all, you realize that this is not just a Montana problem. This is a problem everywhere. And And this, you know, we're trying to do our best here on this show to highlight it and to hopefully bring an end to all of the terrible things that go on to children. It's just voluminous. Okay, so let's see here. That was that one. That was $4.99. Say $4.59. Let's see. So I may have skipped this one here. I think I may have skipped this one. Yeah. Okay, so this was the previous one. Oop, I did that again. So here's a previous one. A bill, an act revising, this is House Bill 499. An act revising child abuse and neglect laws regarding reasonable efforts required to prevent removal of a child from the home or to reunify families separated by the state, defining reasonable efforts and amending Section 41-3-423 of the Montana Code, annotated. So this is revising child abuse and neglect laws regarding reasonable efforts required to prevent removal of a child from the home. Now, as we stated on this broadcast on numerous occasions, are there times when children need to be, you know, protected from parents that may want to harm them, hurt them, that type of thing? Yes, this does happen. We know this. We know this. However, the way that things are set up now, their funding, the increase in their funding and the way that their funding comes in is when they successfully transition children out of a home into a foster or a group home or wherever they put people, but they put these children depending upon the state, the situation. I've talked to parents who've had children in, you know, who have been foster homes, who have been in more of institutionalized settings. You know, I don't know who determines that. I'm sure it's probably done by the DPHHS. At any rate, we really need to make sure before anybody is taken from their home and the family is broken apart and destroyed, and the lives of these children are sometimes destroyed. Sometimes they're picked up and taken 200 miles away and dropped off in some stranger's house. Understand, anybody, nothing against foster parents. I've talked to a lot of them, and there's some of them, you know, most of them are very good. Some not so good. But the foster parents are not the biological parents of these children. So they don't have the same instinct for protection and benefit of these children than the natural parents would have. So, you know, there was a study that was done, and there's a lot of studies done, but there was a study done not very long ago that stated even in abusive situations, children were still better off being with their family than being in some sort of a foster care program. You know, I would think that's probably accurate. Okay. So I actually talked to Melinda Sherman yesterday, last night, about this one. I think specifically Melinda Sherman's been on my show. She's a tremendous advocate for parents in Arizona. She's a court watcher, and she helps parents all the time that are having issues with the courts, and she does great work. This is a bill introduced here. Looks like it is just getting introduced here and doesn't have a bill number, apparently. This is an addendum. All right. This is a bill for an act entitled, I don't know why it's not listed here, an act generally revising laws related to child safety, providing a definition for imminent danger. A definition for imminent danger. Okay. Because that's what they do a lot of times. They will come and take the children from these homes and claiming that these children are in imminent danger. Well, imminent danger means that these children are in such a dire situation that they have to be taken out of the home before the normal process of the next morning or whatever a court thing can be issued, or, you know, the process can be carried out through the courts. If the quote unquote authorities, or if the situation dictates that they would be in danger before that was able to happen, before the courts opened or before a judge got involved or before any of that happened, that's imminent danger. Meaning if they stay the night, they could be in danger. That's imminent danger. Sometimes they've said that these children are in imminent danger and they come and show up 3 and 4 days later to pick up the child because they were in imminent danger. Think about that, folks. They claim that they pick up the child. And the amount of folks that I've had on my show that are just voluminous, the amount of people that I've interviewed that have been victimized by the Child Protective Services and the agencies affiliated with them. Imminent danger. And they pick the child up 3 or 4 days later. Doesn't imminent mean anything? I mean, imminent means it's happening now. Like, it's of the utmost importance. It has to be done immediately. 3 or 4 days later? True story. I mean, I've met multiple parents on that have told that story. And if those any of, the, of them are listening or have tuned into the show, they can certainly attest to that. This is true. Okay, let's check out the next one here. This is, again, I don't think it doesn't have a bill here. An act revising laws regarding parenting time, providing that equal consideration must be given to each parent in determining a parenting plan, and amending section 40-4212 of the Montana Code annotated. So what this is saying is each equal consideration should be given to each parent in any of these situations. The mental health of all individuals involved. Now, if you remember this court case here, and I don't know if this was a, I don't know if this was a result of that. But if you remember this court case here, well, it was in Texas where the person wanted to, the woman wanted to gender change the boy, and the father didn't, and there was a court case, and I think eventually. There was a stay on it, and then the woman came back and fought again. And at any rate, I think what happens now is that the woman won, and the child is going to be undergoing radical therapy to change the sex they were born the sex they were born with. Can't believe we were talking about this, but we are. Sadly, that's the case, and they're going to, I believe that is one of the, we'll let them introduce themselves. Our guests coming on here, I don't have their bios ready for them, but we'll have them introduce themselves. Not a problem at all. Done that before. Okay. So I don't know the name of this bill right here, and I don't know why it's not on the sheet, but it's not. So, anyway, this is equal consideration for parents. And this is the guest that's coming up here in a moment here from the Montana State Council and Forum on Judicial Accountability. They'll be here with us shortly. And as soon as they get on the Zoom call here, we'll pop them over here on the screen. But before we do that, I want to just talk a minute, if I can, about what's going on here in Montana specifically. I covered on the previous broadcast here. There are three great bills going through the Montana legislature right now. There's three bills. I haven't had a chance to determine the greatness of them, but at least they're doing something. The Montana legislature is doing something to rein in big tech. There's some big tech bills that are going through that are going to provide for fines and penalties. I don't even know if penalties, you can't I mean, you use penalties, but you, because it's, the vernacular of the whole section 230 is, I believe that no matter what they do, they can never, no penalties can be levied against them, but they can be fined. So for example, and I think in Poland, they made it $10 million per day, maybe per censorship incident. I don't think it's that severe here in Montana, but I want to say it's like $1 million a day. Perhaps they could lose as they continue to censor people's content here, they can be fined. Now, as that plays out, what I think would have to happen eventually is, and I'm sure they could probably do that these days with IP technology. They would just have to block everybody, I suppose. Block everybody that has an IP address that originates in Montana from being on their platform. I think they could probably these days figure out a way to do that. Now, with all the masking software, the internet VPN stuff and everything, is that a way to dupe them and get around it? Who knows? But you know what? They're cracking down on that too. they're cracking down. They don't like that. The big tech doesn't like those VPNs. They don't like them at all. As a matter of fact, I can't even log into. I used to be able to log into certain programs, as I had the Brave browser as my default. They cut out the Brave browser because it's non-tracking and everything. They want to be into every aspect of your life. They do. They just want to be in every aspect of your life. They want to know everything about you. They track everything on your phone. I mean, they think now, this was years ago. It's probably more sophisticated now. Years ago, they suspected that they could determine what you were going to do at a 94% to 95% success rate, knowing what you're going to do for the day. Meaning if the oligarchs at Google or Apple or wherever you have your mainly where you have your smartphone, your personal tracking device, that thing tracks you. I think they did an experiment on Google. Even when they turned off the tracking, they still tracked them. So they know your routine when you go to work. They know if you go out to dinner every Tuesday night, if you go out to, the pub after work and stop off and have a brew, they know all that stuff, right? They know they can predict your behavior. And why do they do it? There's a couple of reasons, but one of the main reasons is money. They just want to track you and they want to sell your habits and they want to be able to really create an algorithm for you that determines, your buying habits and the best way to market to you so they can sell you stuff, pretty much. That's one end of it. And the other end of it is they just want to be able to control every aspect of your life because they are dark overlords. They have an evil intentions of these things. Not all of them, mostly it's to data mine you and your life so they can market to you properly, so they can extract money out of your wallet into their wallet. But there are more nefarious, reasons for what they do, it's really not, you have a presumption of innocence in this country, right? I mean, you have a right to privacy. Well, you had a right to privacy. At least that's what we're supposed to have. A right to privacy, but when you go on the web and you log into one of your programs or you create an account, on any platform, do you lose your privacy at that point? I don't know. Do you read all the fine print? These 6 or 7 pages of fine print or 8 pages that you have to agree to before? I mean, just a minute, raise your hand, admit it. You don't read all that, right? You just scroll down to the bottom and hey, I agree. I do. Do I read everything? I know there's movies out there and there's videos that show, but it shows all these disclaimers and everything that you have to, voluminous page after page of agreements that you have to, you have to sign to get into, to websites or create accounts. You just scroll down and click yes, I'm sure, like most people. Who's got that kind of time in the day? You can barely read it, first of all. And who's got the kind of time necessary to read through, 15 minutes of these things, of these accounts, for each one, for each platform that you wanted to sign up for? So within there, could there be something as if you click I agree here, then you give up your right to privacy, or we have to sell your stuff, or... Yeah, sure. So what we want to do here is we want to have a thing where you're not automatically in. You have to opt in, right? We want the opt-in method. If these people want to make money advertising, as long as they're not getting into your personal information and selling it to people, your credit card numbers and illegal. I mean, people have to sell stuff on the web, right? So, I'm not against them trying to sell stuff on the web, but you should opt into it. You should agree to it, right? You shouldn't automatically be tracked. Some people like to get those deals, right? Some people like to know that because they get pop-ups and stuff of things that they like. And I mean, there's fine. If that's the way you want to roll, that's fine. But you should be able to choose that is all I'm saying. It's not that way now. It's not that way now. We're going to have our guest here coming up in just a minute. Okay. All right. So we, I'm getting text here during the show. A lot going on here in Montana and legislatively in Montana. I mean, we're doing some great things here. I think there's going to have, well, we've already passed the carry, the permitless carry bill. That's already been signed by the governor. And there's just loads of, really good bills here, I believe, going through that are going to define, one of them is going to define, sorry, a personhood bill, going to define a person as in all stages of life. You're considered a person in all stages of life. Even at the moment of inception, you're still considered a person. So if that bill gets passed, it's against the law to kill a person in Montana. You know, in all states, it's against the law to kill a person. So if it's determined that an infant is considered a person, then you won't be able to, then basically the abortion industry is over in Montana. Wouldn't be the first time. There's multiple states right now that I think Missouri comes to mind. I want to say South Carolina comes to mind. There may even be another one, have enacted similar laws that have eliminated the abortion industry. And, you know, I'm all for that. I make no apologies about that on this show. That's for sure. Okay. So we're going to be having our guest here, come here on the show here pretty soon. And again, I'm going to have them introduce themselves. They were on my show, both on my show last year, but for Pete's sake, I've had so many, guests on since I've had them on last time. I can't possibly remember their bios. But I probably have them somewhere on my computer here somewhere, but I don't know if I can find them in time. And that's okay. That's okay. We've done that before, have not gotten bios and had people introduce themselves. And so we're going to have them do, and I expect them to be here in just a moment. Now, before they get here, let's take a quick look at their website and get prepped for their arrival. They again are from Montana State Council and Forum on Judicial Accountability. And they are an affiliate of the National Forum on Judicial Accountability. Restoring the rule of law when breached is an obligation of and should directly involve all Montanans. We have engaged not to judge, bash, or manipulate, but to decry a judiciary that is self-disciplined and essentially is their own arbitrator, whether it has been corrupted and is exclusively regulator of any attorney or judge who would object. So we're trying to get some accountability in the judicial system. They work with CPS Abuse Conviction Integrity Unit and the Montana Judicial Standards. So we do appreciate them being here on the show. Okay. Getting texts like crazy, folks, just crazy. Crazy texts back and forth. A lot going on here. I mean, there's so much going on. And, you know, folks, I've had this conversation 3 or 4 times in the last couple of days. People are, you know, wondering what's going on with the president, what's going on with Biden and all these orders. And so you see, and I've said this on the show numerous times. What you need to do is you need to worry. It's not so important what goes on in Washington, D.C. that's likely thousands of miles away from you. Certainly out west here it is. What's more important is your state capitol or the city hall at the end of your road or in the middle of your town. That is where the real battle has to be fought. As you see some of these bills that I've covered here on the show here already, these CPS bills, and there are big tech censor bills. There is, I believe, a smart meter bill coming up here where, again, you have to opt in for a smart meter. You have to say, I want a smart meter. Can you please give me one? Otherwise, I can't just give you a smart meter. I mean, I've done numerous shows on smart meters and the potential dangers of smart meters and what can go wrong with smart meters. You know, again, you can certainly look all those up on, you can look all those up on Northwest Urban News. I think if you just, YouTube channel, if you just type in smart meters. But I got people texting me that I haven't heard from for so long time. Boy, it would be one of those things where it just all of a sudden it's the floodgates open and people come and stuff comes rolling in. Well, I'll be as soon as I get done with the interview with our guest here, I'll have some more time available. You know, I got someone coming into the studio this afternoon, and we're going to do some pre-recorded interviews. Unbelievable stuff, folks. This guy got robbed. His property just got stolen from him, pretty much stolen through lies and unlawfulness and trickery right here in Montana, right here in the Flathead Valley. This is going to be, I mean, and there's not, it's not just him. There are numerous folks involved in it. FBI's involved in it now. It is going to be a huge story here really, really soon. And yours truly here has the exclusive access to that story. And I will have the victim of the criminal theft of his property worth over $100 million. That's right. His property is worth over $100 million stolen from him by one of the local lending institutions here in Montana. And we are going to have him here in the studio this afternoon, and we are going to do a series of interviews with him. There's a voluminous amount of information that he has. So all of these interviews are going to be documented. There's going to be documented proof of everything that we have, and it's going to be broken down into probably 3 or 4 different parts. So keep an eye out for that. I'll publish them on I have a Rumble channel now. I have a BitChute channel, but for crying out loud, BitChute, I barely have enough time to upload one video to BitChute. Like, you know, half the time it doesn't work, and you got to upload them again. Just hardly have time for that. Like I said, I barely have time to upload it once, let alone 3 or 4 times on BitChute. So I know it's, you know, new technology and they're working on getting it straightened out, but I just, you know, it's occasionally videos will end up on BitChute. They'll be on YouTube as long as my channel's open here. They'll be on YouTube because they're live on YouTube, and they're live. They're automatically processed, and they will be on Rumble. Rumble, I don't think I've ever had one that hasn't uploaded on Rumble properly. So you can check those new platforms out. I have a Gab now. I think it's at Northwest NWL News. They canceled my main Twitter account, and the big purge happened. They kicked me off there. So got that going for us. So we're doing everything we can here, folks, to keep on the air and keep the word getting out. And we do appreciate your support. It looks like we have one of our guests have joined us here. So if you'll bear with me, I'm going to pop open the Zoom here and have them join me on the show. And they'll be with me in just a moment. Hey, is this Bart? I think he's connecting his microphone. Hey, I saw you there for a second, Bart. Is that you, Bart? Folks, live radio. We're pulling people in here on the Zoom. Live during the show here. So we're trying to get Bart on. Looks like he had his camera working there for a second, but I think it got some malfunctions. But we'll obviously his arrival is imminent, and it will show you what imminent means. Not 3 or 4 days. Imminent, anytime now. He'll be here anytime. So when CPS says that the child is in imminent danger and then pick him up 4 days later, that's not the definition of imminent. Bart's arrival here is imminent. As soon as you turn, Bart, are you there?
Yeah, I've just got here. Thanks.
Hey, how's it going, Bart? Are you going to do the video thing? Are you thinking you're doing the video thing, or are you going to do just the audio?
Well, I'm on my phone, actually, right now. I'm just scrambling. I'm having a very busy day, but is it okay if I just do it this way, or do you want me on video?
No, you're fine. No problem. Okay. We can pull you over. Is Janae going to be joining us, do you think?
Yeah, I just talked to her about 10 minutes ago. She's scrambling too, so.
No problem.
She should be on any time now.
Okay, great. When she pops on, she should pop on the screen here right now since I got it set up. Bart, thanks so much for joining me here. I tell you what, while we're waiting for Janae to join us, why don't you go ahead and give us a little bit of background on yourself. I know you've been on before, Bart, and I probably have your bio somewhere buried in one of my 7 hard drives here somewhere, but I don't know where. So if you'd be so kind as to give us a little bit of background on yourself, and then when Janae gets on, she can certainly do the same. Bart Crabtree, over to you.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. My name is Bart Crabtree. I'm the president of the Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability. We're a statewide organization. We have a full board of directors, and what we're pursuing legislatively is accountability in our justice system, just as it says. Like you mentioned, we were on your show about a year ago, I believe, Jim, and got a lot of positive comments and feedback from that. We'd appreciated being on there. We do have several bills pending right now before the legislature. And the first one, the big one, is the creation of Montana's first conviction integrity unit. It is House Bill number 603. And it would be termed the Montana Innocence Inquiry Commission. And what it does is it takes extraordinary steps to investigate and exonerate people that are factually innocent, people that are, found guilty of a felony, rather than having to wait several years for an appeal to the Supreme Court or a petition for post-conviction relief. Those methods take a lot of time, and in many crimes are sent to prison and jails for long periods of time, costing the taxpayers a lot of money. And the Innocence Inquiry Commission would investigate fully factual innocence, things that happened during the trial, such as misconduct by police or prosecutors or perjury by certain witnesses, things like that. The other bill that we're working on is actually, it's not an actual bill yet. It's going to be a legislative referendum to amend our Montana Constitution to allow a citizens oversight commission in our judiciary, because as it is right now, our judiciary is self-disciplined. We have judges overseeing grievances against judges, and that's something that we have to change. There's just no accountability in the system.
Well, I think we've been joined by Janae Weber. Thanks so much for joining us here once again on the broadcast. As I had stated with Bart, I think I have your bio somewhere buried in one of my hard drives, but I don't know where I can find it at right now. Janae, thanks again for joining us. If you'd be so kind just to give us a bit of a background on yourself, over to you. Thanks.
Oh, thank you so much for having us on today. This is amazing. I just stepped out of the Capitol building, as a matter of fact, some issues that we're dealing with. And so we're really excited that your listeners are going to hear some of the good positive stuff that's happening. My name is Janae Weber. I've been working on these issues for about 12 years, and I come from a background of thinking that our justice system was just, and I was a do the crime, do the time kind of person back then until I got educated. And once I got educated and started seeing how our fiscal dollar is being misused for something that is not working. As a business person, I went, wow, if I failed 40 to 50% of the time, I would certainly not be in business. And yet we are putting money down a system that has been failing for that way for the past 50 years. So I think I got involved because I said, I think we can do better. I think we Montanans are bright. I think we can be, I'm a Pollyanna, and I believe that we in Montana can be the showcase of other states of what to do and how to treat people and restore and reform and all of the above. And I think that we could do it. And so we are starting, and with the CIU is coming up, we've got a earned credit bill that's coming up, as well as education within our jails and prisons. A 2-year, 4-year degree and vocational, which is pretty exciting because now we can put people back into the workforce that are educated, that are marketable, that can now pay back to society by working and paying taxes instead of taking from society. Other states have been doing this for many years, and we have not had earned time since, I think, 94, when we got in, stopped all of the stuff that was proactive for inmates. And so we're seeing the writing on the wall, where we're looking at like the Netherlands, who actually spent a lot of money in mental health and in 2014 and reduced their violent crime rate by 40% in 5 years by doing so. So there's some great answers out there. And your listeners are obviously people that care about our state and want to do something for it. So please get involved and help us.
You know, it reminds me, I'm from Detroit. I grew up in Detroit. And I want to say back in the 80s, and both of you may remember this, they literally opened the doors of the Lafayette Clinic and let all of the people that were in there, mental health patients, some of them in severe mental distress, funding got done. They opened up the doors, let them out on the streets of Detroit. And people were just astounded that they had done that. I don't think people realize just how important the mental health aspect is. A lot of the people that commit crimes, you know, certainly back where I'm from, a lot of these people have mental health issues that are untreated or, you know, ignored or unnoticed or, you know, not diagnosed properly. And I just can't, you know, I'm always necessarily, it's not the answer for everything is mental health, certainly, but there are a lot of mental health issues, I think, that go untreated and undetected. Would you both agree with that?
You know, I actually was listening to the DOC budget report. And one of the their medical report, and I might have these numbers incorrect, so but I think she said they had like over 950 people that were in our system with mental health issues that are in our prisons. That's scary.
That's a lot. That's
because
a lot.
The prison does absolutely nothing to help somebody's mental health. So now we're going to traumatize them even worse, right? And bring them out an even worse person than what we put them in. I, as a person that spends money, a lot of money on my tax dollars, I certainly don't want my money going for something that's not working.
Well, and they have like really nice gyms, so they all work out and they become like like muscled up criminals. So they come out and they can, you know, I mean, it's sadly it's true in some ways. Bart, do you see that as well? Do you see that mental health aspect as being key?
Yes, I really do. I'll tell you, Jim, I've learned a lot in the last 2 years since we, you know, founded this nonprofit organization, Council on Judicial Accountability. And it's really opened my eyes to a lot of areas, and that is one of them. Another area is one that you have a lot of guests on in regards to CPS, Child Protective Services. I was ignorant to all the issues that went on there until about a year ago, and we're inundated with calls and letters from people very concerned about the tactics of CPS and some other government agencies. And we recognize that, you know, the accountability starts at the district court level. And we need to hold people in the judicial system accountable with what they're doing. Otherwise, it permeates down into other agencies and they do the same thing. So,
yeah, that was
one. Bart is,
go ahead, Jenny.
Bart is completely correct on that. If we cannot trust our judges and our county attorneys that by law stand there and put their hand on an oath that says that they will tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, and they are going to honor the truth and they are going to support the truth, and yet we are ninth in the nation in wrongful convictions, obviously we have some problems from the top down. And then one of the issues, like Bart had mentioned, we set it up wrong because I get it. Nobody wants to tell on a friend, right? Nobody. And that's why we can't have police overseeing police. We can't have judges overseeing judges, county attorneys overseeing county attorneys. It doesn't work. They can't hold them accountable because we're a small community in Montana and they all know each other.
No, this is true. And, you know, I'm on your website here. I'm not sure at what level you, both of you can see the screen that I'm on, but I was on your website here. I'm on it now. And as you scroll down to the issues, one of the main ones there, the first one actually is CPS abuse and then conviction integrity and judicial standards. But CPS abuse, I'm not sure if you're aware, and Janae, you probably are there since you're there in Helena. Dennis Lenz is going to be on the show tomorrow. He has introduced quite a few bills. He's been a strong advocate of correcting Child Protective Services and you know the many. Well, it's broken. It's a broken system. It's run like a business, sadly. And one of the things that they're going to do now, what they're trying to do, is they're trying to set the standard for a person that would come in there and take a child out of a home. They have to have like a licensure and they have to be trained. So they have to have something to be able to lose. So they have to be able to, you know, if they do it improperly or they don't follow, you know, the constitutional principles that we all are entitled to, if they don't follow that, then their licensure can be taken from them and they won't be able to work in that field anymore. I think that's a great step in the right direction, but that's just a small step. It's really bad. I mean, if you've watched any of my stuff, some of the people I've had on my show, I've had to actually dump the interview out because I was going to break down because it was so bad. I mean, it's worse than I even thought when I first started doing it. And I applaud both of you. If you can do anything to help correct what ALCPS and these poor children that get abused, I mean, you got my support 100%.
Thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate that.
You're welcome. So what is the folks, like you see with the whole Trump movement, right? I mean, the folks, when they get involved, things happen. Is that one of the parts of your organization? There's got to be a community outreach or a community component of it, because they will, you know, if you form a group and you have these, you know, not saying you guys do this, but you know, they have these preset, you know, forms that you fill out, basically the letters, and all you do is you sign your name at the bottom and they get the same letter 5,000 times. Well, they're not dumb. They know that these are just auto-generated letters. Much more, I think, valuable handwritten letter, personal note, signed personally, or even better, showing up and being counted. Is that something that you guys encourage in your organization?
Oh, we do. Yeah. And you know, the problem with that is that there's so many Montanans that are working and they have a hard time getting over here to Helena, to testify in person. You know, Janae and I are fortunate enough that we're able to, you know, plus all the work that we're doing to correct all these problems. But, you know, one thing that we are doing is starting to collaborate with a number of other organizations, because frankly, there are quite a few other smaller organizations around the state of Montana that work in some of the fields that we work with. And then they have their own main thing, but, we're really pushing for collaboration with other organizations like, Americans for Prosperity here in Montana, the Innocence Project, Montana Innocence Project. I think everybody knows about them. We're starting to collaborate with them. A number of organizations outside the state of Montana, the National Registry of Exonerations, the North Carolina Innocence Inquiry Commission, who we've modeled our CIU House Bill 603 a lot after. They've helped us so much. It's just been amazing.
You know,
yes, and the other thing that somebody could do is actually, you can get on Zoom now, and you can actually testify as a proponent for certain bills that we're working on. And so the other thing that would be really help us out is that our organization, we are working at trying to get 5,000 members that that we could alert, that then would call in, do something, and be very active, because that would be a force to be reckoned with to start making some changes in our justice system here. So if anybody that's listening, please go to our website and sign up, and we'll send you out notifications when bills, unfortunately right now we can't, because they're sliding in so fast. Like one of them, the earned credit, we're supposed to be given a couple of days notice. They dropped it in last night, and it's being heard today at 3:00. So, it's kind of crazy until Wednesday, what's going to be dropping. So we'll try to keep everybody alerted and ask for people to testify on behalf of certain things. So if you go in and sign up at the mtsaoja.org, we would really be grateful for you to help us out.
And what's that website again? One more time. I see it right here. I have it up. mtsaoja.org. mtscoja.org. As a side note, there's some really good big tech bills. I think Sheldon Galloway and Brad Cheetah have put forth big tech bills to penalize the tech companies, to fine them, you know, fine them for failing to turn someone's account back on or continuing to censor them, which is a good thing. That's a positive thing. That's just a little bit of a side note. There's a lot of good bills going through Helena right now. I'm pleased with some of them, especially the.
Well, there are. Yeah. But what happens is they have a very strong lobby group with the sheriffs and county attorneys, and very strong. And so, like Mr. Reed, who had some really kind of some good bills, pulled them today, and just didn't even want to go up and fight against them because they were all there: the police, the sheriffs, the county attorneys, enforce about holding accountability. So there are some things out there, and this is why we need the numbers. We need to have the people to counteract, not to say that they aren't doing a good job. A lot of them are, but some of the bills that they're coming up against is stuff that would help citizens to stand a chance and to have some rights too. So anyway, just keep abreast of what's going on, everybody, and your voice is heard up here. In fact, I can't tell you how many legislators that told me, because I'm not a paid lobbyist, that they listen more to a person who drives from Miles City, somebody that comes up here and to testify. That means more to them than anything. That is their number one priority, that somebody took the time to come up here and to testify on behalf of something. So your voice is heard.
You know, you mentioned sheriffs, and I had Sheriff Mack and Sheriff Jesse Slaughter on my program here, I don't know, a week or so ago, I guess, last week. And the constitutional sheriff has tremendous power inside a county, and I don't mean mad power. I mean power to be able to you know, arrest powers, to be able to adjudicate matters, and to be able to stop some of the tyranny. Have you guys, you talked about collaborating with groups. Now I've got mixed feelings here about the Montana Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. I mean, I'm not going to give you my commentary on them right now. But generally speaking, constitutional sheriffs are vital. Have you reached out to any of the constitutional sheriffs, or is that a group that, you know, your nationwide organization is trying to connect with? Because if you get a good constitutional sheriff that stands behind, you know, the citizens, and they're really supposed to be a shield, the constitutional sheriff is supposed to be the shield between the citizens and the state, local, and federal governments. They're supposed to protect them constitutionally. Mm-hmm. Have you had any headway with the constitutional sheriffs at all?
Well, absolutely. In fact, I met with Jesse Slaughter. We're working on the educational program, and we're trying to work a pilot program through his regional. He's one that stepped up and said, I'd be more than happy to start working on that, because he saw a benefit of what education does for people that are incarcerated and how it helps them to come back out into the community a better person. And so he's a very strong, he's a breath of fresh air in our state.
Indeed.
Of people that really want to see some changes. And I think Brian Dutkin, our new director, is another one. You have to understand that Brian is coming in with 16 years of steeped in non-transparency, right, in the DOC, some very unethical things going on that they would hide. And Brian's coming in and wants to be transparent. So he's got a big turnaround to turn the culture around, right? And so I think he's got his work cut out for him, but I think he can do it. I'm very, very optimistic that he's the right guy for us at this time.
So what's next for the your organization? I know you've been around for a couple of years. I think you've made some great progress. Are you going to be opening up, or have you thought about, and you may have it already. I mean, there's so many groups and so much goes on. And if you have this already, I apologize. But are you going to be going from county to county and open up, sort of trying to get satellite organizations or groups in different counties? You're, of course, a Montana-wide organization. Have you done that yet? Have you had a chance? I know it's even 2 years, folks, even say it's a long time. Not really. Not if you're trying to do a statewide, you know, organization and get locations and bring people together. I mean, that just doesn't happen overnight. Do you have any visions about that, about going county to county and setting up county sort of regional outposts or satellite locations for your organization?
Well, you know, actually we've, in the last year, as you recall, we've crisscrossed the state of Montana last year, in 2020, hosting community forums across Montana in Billings, Bozeman, Missoula, Great Falls, all the major cities. Just having community forums to get the word out to people and educate people on what's going on. And not only community forums, but we also arranged and had a few legislative roundtables where we just contacted legislators, either Senate or House legislators in that particular area. And they came to these meetings, sat down with us, and we just had a group think, and we just all got along great, and they understood where we were coming from. So I think that's made a lot of difference as well. One thing that I do personally want to do is outreach into eastern Montana a lot more. We kind of neglected that part of the state, but I think it's part or important that we do get out in that area, you know, Miles City, Plentywood, you know, clear up in the northeast or northeast corner of the state. We need to get out there and visit with people as well. So,
and then one thing I would mention too is that it sounded like we were, I was a little adversarial, and I certainly don't want to come across that way, because one of our goals is to collaborate and work together across section with the police and with the county attorneys and with the judges to find solutions. There's a judge that I'm working with in Yellowstone County to help find some solutions. You know, there are some across there, but we would like to see it open up a little bit more to where we're all working together for the betterment, you know, because right now in our state it's kind of an us and them mentality, right? Everybody's in their own little groups doing their own little thing. Well, In our judicial system, we can't do that. We've got to get each other and work together and collaborate. And that's one of the goals of Montana State Council on Judicial Accountability is we see the problems. Now we're looking for solutions. We're not just going to be a complainer about it. We're going to find solutions and advocate for the solutions for long term for our state so that we see a change in 5, 10, 15, and 20 years for the future of our children and grandchildren, that they can come in and know that we are now doing the right thing.
Amen. Yep. She hit the nail on the head. Yep. We're just trying to provide solutions for the people of Montana with some of these issues, Jim.
Well, I just want to see equal laws, rules, and accountability for everyone, no matter what,
yep.
No matter what, you know, garment you wear to work in the morning, whatever your last name is, whatever position is, it doesn't matter. It should be equal justice for all. And sadly, in the court systems now, we don't see that. And, you know, I know the recent events of the Supreme Court, you know, have been, you know, magnified, of course, because of what's going on since the election and everything like that. But, you know, that's not really where I think, in my view, where we don't need to focus our attentions on. Like I've said on the show here, maybe even this show earlier today or this morning, you know, it's okay to keep an eye on D.C. and what's going on there, but it's much more important to keep an eye on, in this case, Helena, or what's going on at your county commission, or what's going on in your town hall. I think that's where the real change is made, because example is these internet big tech censorship bills that are coming out. The federal government's not going to do anything. The federal legislators are all in the pockets of these big tech companies. So it takes the Montana State Legislature to put up forth a bill that is going to stop it. So that's where I would think my focus would be, and you probably, both of you would probably agree, that I think people need to think more locally. It's nothing wrong with keeping an eye on the circus in Washington, but the action has to take place in your local communities. Would you both agree on that?
Absolutely.
Oh, yes. Without local, like, I don't even look at national anymore, because we live right here. And yes, we live in the entire, you know, U.S., but our focus, if we can make Montana the go-to spot of what to do and how to do things right, and we're treating everybody equally, then we will be the model for every other. And I just had a meeting just a little bit ago with one of our higher officials in the government. I won't say who it is. And that was the biggest concern that we had. We felt that in Montana is capable of doing this. We're small enough. We only have a couple of prisons, right? We don't have 45,000 people in prison. So we can do a turnaround in our state. We can be that person. We can be the ones that make a dramatic change and look at. We've got to change the culture, though, of the lock them up and throw away the key of the 80s, the tough on crime nonsense that we all bought into for a while. All that did was increase our incarceration rate and our pocketbook. that we put out, and it didn't change anything else as far as violent crime or anything. It just, it enhanced more angry people, basically, is what we did with that. So I don't concur with that, what you're saying. Thank you.
Well, the owners of the numerous private prisons across the country would tend to disagree with you on that there, Janae. It was very beneficial for them. But at any rate, that's another topic altogether.
That's another topic. We do have one in our state, by the way, that we do need to work at getting switched over. So I agree with that.
Well, we just come to towards the end of the interview here. I'll give you each 1 minute to say anything you'd like to say, or close out with any websites or anything, any events that you have coming up, or any legislative stuff that you want people to take a look at. You both can have the floor and go ahead, say what you'd like to say. Again, any websites or anything like that, you feel free to do that now. Go right ahead.
Okay. If I could go first, because my phone's about to die, actually. It's
sure,
low battery, but I do appreciate everybody listening in on this. And we do, you know, plead with you to get involved. You're more than, you know, feel free to contact us through our website. There's the contact information in there, and we will get back with you. We are concerned about everybody's, you know, issues out there. I just met another gal this morning. I went to testify on a bill hearing, one of Teresa Manzella's bill hearings, and met a gal there that was traumatically affected by an incident, and I went out and visited with her for about 15 minutes, and hopefully I'm going to be meeting up with her again today, because we are interested in what's going on out there. It's the only way that we're, you know, we need to disclose all this stuff that's happening and bring it forth to the proper people to make changes. So thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Well put, Bart. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate you being here. Janae, would you like to say anything in closing?
Yes, thank you so much.
Sure.
Double that for what Bart said. And the other aspect that I would really encourage, if you have a story, if you know people that have a story, if you've got family members that have been incarcerated or are incarcerated, please contact us. Your voice can be heard. We are now 1 out of 30 of our young men are in our prison systems from the ages of 17 to 30. That is a majority. They are now the majority of vote here in the state of Montana. So please get involved. Realize that there's a lot of people out there. You're not alone. It's not shameful. People are getting put in prison for the most ridiculous things, but it does hurt a family. And also there is an opening for somebody that would like to start a family organization that would collaborate with the DOC on issues. And so we need somebody that would head up that side of it too. So please call. Please let us know who you are. We want to help as much as we can.
Okay, great stuff. That is let's see, let me go back here to the website here. It's mtscoja.org, mtscoja.org, and that is the Montana State Council and Forum on Judicial Accountability. Bart Crabtree and Janae Weber, thanks so much, both of you. It looks like Bart's phone died, Janae. It's only you. So he said it was going to happen. But Janae, for Bart, we do appreciate him being on today. And thanks so much, Janae, for being here. If anything breaks or anything comes up that you need to get out, just reach out to me and we'll see what we can do about getting you on the air, okay?
Well, we appreciate that so much. Thank you. And thank you for what you do.
Well, thank you so much for what you do. We appreciate that. And we look forward to speaking to you next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye now. Okay, folks, there goes Janae Weber, her and Bart Crabtree. We do appreciate both of them being on the show from the Montana State Council on and Forum on Judicial Accountability. Accountability is key. I mean, who doesn't want accountability, right? Don't we all want accountability? Most of us have accountability where we work and what we do. We're accountable. Why shouldn't everybody be? You know, that's what I'm thinking. Appreciate you looking in here today on the show. We're just out of time. CriticalDisclosure.com. It's CriticalDisclosure.com or the flagship NorthwestLibertyNews.com. Starting a big interview series here this afternoon in studio here. Just an explosive story that I'm going to be bringing out here probably next week. Full documentation, full video backup. Not going to believe it, folks. You're not going to believe that this person got over $100 million property stolen literally from the bank. And now the feds are involved, so it's going to be, I think that these people are going to get what's coming to them. But please tune in for that. I'll make the announcement when that comes out. Thanks so much for looking in here on the show. Appreciate you. Look forward to talking to you next time. And until that next time, this is James White for Critical Disclosure, saying bye now.